Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing is absolutely certain, my friend, and that is if you don't have an aggressive posture, an active life of helping other people 100% of the time, if that defines you, and I hope it does not, but 100% of the time, those that are selfish absolutely are miserable. And that's exactly what Jesus said, Revelation chapter 3. And this is people that are part of the church. Notice this, Revelation 3, verse 16 and 17. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and the next verse is going to define that and the fruit thereof, and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Here's what the definition of lukewarmness is, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, that is, in this world, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Does that sound like America to you? Most people? Yeah. Here's the reality. Jesus is speaking here, and he sees right through the sham we call riches and how we're increased with goods and we don't have any need of anything. He says, and they knew not and knowest not that thou art what? What is it? Five things? Wretched, miserable. There it is. Miserable. Because you're full of yourself. You're a self-serving counterfeit. Any child of God is aggressively praying and giving to others. They are not full of themselves and laying up treasures on this earth. No, they're laying them up in heaven. And God says when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he's going to pay you back in great dividends. And it's not going to be cash like the false teachers teach, but it's going to be stuff in ways that are much greater than cash. That's going to be Proverbs 19:17. I want you to memorize that verse and meditate upon it. About the poor and about giving to the poor and how the Lord is going to pay you back. So many people today, especially in America, the Laodicean, and many of them profess to be Christians, sadly, are getting ready for Armageddon or the last days when the grid goes down and the mark of the beast comes up. But they're leaving out the Bible preparation, and that would be to be aggressively, assertively, deliberately helping the poor. And when you do that, you're lending to the Lord, and he's going to repay you. He's going to take care of you in famine and in the times that lie ahead, which are going to be dark. They're going to be the worst times in human history, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 24.
Picking up in verse 21, where Jesus says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
The earth has never seen such times as are coming upon us. And if you're not giving,
and of course, that giving will begin with giving our lives to the Lord. And when we do, truly, we're going to have the love of God, who is love, in us. And we are going to continue to give ourselves to him and to others in need and to bless them as unto the Lord.
And it doesn't matter what you profess, because Jesus told these very professing Christians and people who were once Christians, he's talking to the church of Laodicea. He told them that they were what? Although they thought they were rich in goods and doing great, he said, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They had no righteousness of Christ. That's why he said they were naked. And somebody says, well, that's work salvation. No, we're saved by grace through faith. But when you have saving faith, not fake faith like Satan, James 2:19, even the devils believe in God and tremble. And in that chapter and text, he's teaching about
in James 2, that real faith is always going to have the fruit of good works.
A changed life, a changed lifestyle.
So he tells them, as he would tell perhaps someone listening to this message, that you don't realize it, but you're what? Wretched. You're miserable. You're full of yourself. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're never going to be happy till you really repent. And when you do that, you're going to turn your life
over
to the Lord. You're going to fall into God. You're going to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You must increase, but I must decrease. But presently, you're wretched, miserable, poor. You're spiritually bankrupt and blind. You're walking in darkness. And you are naked. You do not have on you to clothe you the righteous garment of the Lord. So you're naked. You're undone in the eyes of a holy God. Let's talk about 1 John chapter 3. And he's talking about loving others among other things here. This is a brutal chapter that we should all study, pore over prayerfully, and find ourselves repenting therein. Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, not to give us a license to live in sin, 1 John 3:5. We're just going to scan through this chapter a bit. At the end of the chapter is where we're going to kind of dig in a little bit. Whosoever abideth in him, verse 6, sinneth not, does not live in sin. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth, practically obeys righteousness, doeth righteousness, is righteous, even as he, Jesus, is righteous. Verse 8, he that committeth sin, if you live in sin, you are of the devil, he says. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And how does he do that? What is the first verse we read? Just back up three verses, verse 5, 1 John 3. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him, Christ, is no sin. So apparently Jesus, as we read here in this passage here, the text, destroys the works of the devil out of your life as you are born again and you walk with Christ. Jesus did not die to wash you clean only so that you could go back and live in those same sins. You are like a pig that has returned to the mire or the mud of sin. 2 Peter 2:20-22. You cannot live in sin and have a relationship with Christ simultaneously. If you're living in sin, hell is where you will end up in, because the wages of sin is still death. Now, there's so many who teach and try to hide behind this little scam doctrine, which is the first lie of Satan. And this once saved, always saved scam. But these people are miserable because they're not doers of the word. And this very chapter teaches us that in order to have a heart that's pure and sound and assured, having assurance before God, you have to obey God. That's one of the big things you're going to read here and learn in 1 John 3. Can you say it out loud with me? I want this to stick in your heart and mind for you to go back and you to read and study and pore over this chapter maybe every morning this week, and also share it with somebody else, another professing Christian. It's time to get real. And let me tell you, this chapter is a put on your seatbelt chapter and get ready to repent. Psalm 51. So we're talking about 1 John 3 and how when and only when you literally obey God, otherwise all of your profession is absolutely a fraud. Titus 1 verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works. In what? In works. They deny him. Let me say this again, that if you truly are living by faith, and that's the only way you can please God, Hebrews 11, 6, you have good works. You have the fruit of good works in your life. You are loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're loving your neighbor as yourself. How can we walk by a poor person when we have a gut full of food and drink and that God has blessed us with? Why shouldn't they be able to eat today? We ate. Can God not take care of us if we go out on the limb, depending on what your finances look like? And by the way, how's God going to entrust you with more if you aren't faithful with that which he's already given you? Parable of the talents, Matthew 25. Again, Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but Uh-oh, here's the contradiction. In works, they deny him, being what? Abominable. He's using the abomination word, the strongest word in the Bible for hatred. God hates this. Notice they claim to know God, but in works, they deny him. In works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. That is a serious indictment, and it's divine, so it's accurate. Notice Revelation 2:26, Jesus says, and he that overcometh, are you an overcomer? There's no such thing as a one and done, once saved, always saved, eternal security, economy, or principle in the scriptures. That's a lie from hell. That's the very first lie of Satan, which caused the fall of man. If you've been saved, good, stay saved. Completely surrender your life today in repentance. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus for real. And he that overcometh, Revelation 2:26, and keepeth. Sounds like enduring to the end, doesn't it? Absolutely. That's what Jesus and his apostles taught. They never taught anything such as eternal security or once saved, always saved. Everything they taught was against that. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Is your hand on the plow? Are you laboring in the Lord for his kingdom glory to edify the saints, build them up, and to win lost souls? Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9:62. Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. All of the churches that Jesus addressed in Revelation 2 and 3, seven of them, he told them that they must overcome and be victorious in this life. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to follow Jesus on his own stated terms, that you repent, and from that moment on, you deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you follow him, loving him supremely and hating all others in respect to or comparison to your love for him. Luke chapter 14. So we're scanning through 1 John 3, and we are here in verse 10. Let's read verse 10. And in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now just stop right there. How many kingdoms are in the earth? How many kingdoms do we see God tell us are in the earth? Just two. Notice, those that are born of God, number one. And that is those who are the children of God, verse 10. And the children of the devil, quote unquote, the children of God, and quote unquote, the children of the devil. And notice how those two kingdoms, there's only two, light and darkness, Jesus or Satan, children of God, children of the devil, right here in this verse. How do we know if we and or others are in one or the other kingdom? Well, let's read the verse through and see if you can apprehend the self-evident answer to that great question. Here it is. 1 John 3:10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, doeth it not, does not obey. And going to church does not qualify as a good work. Fellowship, yes. Most so-called churches that meet on Sunday morning, official church building, so-called, are absolutely not following the biblical blueprint for fellowship. To find that, you want to look maybe in the book of Acts. And yes, we are absolutely to fellowship, but why not daily with the real body of Christ? And there's four things that are basic to real gatherings of the saints. And by the way, most importantly, we should be gathering with the Lord in private prayer every morning and living a life of prayer. Matthew 6:6, we are to meet privately with Christ and the Father every morning, and God is going to bless us as we do. Acts 2:42, this is right after Pentecost, the birth of the New Testament church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They did what? They continued in the Word. That's it right there. Now then, they didn't have the printed Bible like we do, so boy, you know we have no excuse. And they continued steadfastly in what? The Word, the apostles' doctrine. And that we have on record now in the 27-book canon of the New Testament scriptures, the King James Bible. So four things here. They continue, these true disciples of Christ, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, number one. Notice how important the word is. And fellowship. It doesn't say anything about once a week here. No, in fact, a few verses down, it says, and they continuing daily. So this is daily fellowship. And people get impressed with their little attendance at these fake churches that have fake Bibles, a fake Jesus, and a fake pastor. Unreal. And they think that's fellowship. I've had numerous conversations through the years that left these type of counterfeits skunked. They're proud of themselves because they're part of a fellowship. It's really not a fellowship as defined by Scripture. It's a fellowship of people stuck together and brought together under the leadership of people who are making merchandise of them, 2 Peter 2, false teachers and false prophets, that would be, who are gathering them together and pretending it's a real fellowship, although it doesn't include the cold, hard truth and the hard truths of the original gospel, but it sure is making ends meet financially and building a business for the pastors, but it's not equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. How many good church attenders do you know who fast at least one day a week, who are just evangelizing, who are winning people to Jesus? How many? None. You know none of them. And some of you are still doing that, and it's produced no good fruit. It's produced bad fruit. And if you will really repent, you're going to come out from among them and be separate, and you're going to join the ranks, the tribe of the obedient servants, disciples of Christ. He said it is a little flock. Luke 12:32. It's a little flock. It's not these hordes of counterfeits are going to these church buildings on Sunday morning to hear the pastor tickle their ears or tell them how to cope. No, it's the overcomers who are born again and walking in an abiding relationship with Christ. The only way in which you can do that, by the way, is to obey his word, to live a crucified life. Or you're not following him. You are not following him if you're not crucified with Christ. And many of you listening are like, right now, you have never even heard that term. Unbelievable, the apostasy, which the Bible said would be in place just before he returns. Some shall depart from the faith. Why? They departed from the word, from obeying it. And some of you are still sitting under that absolute false gospel. They don't even use the King James Bible. I mean, 101, anybody with an iota of kingdom revelation and in touch with God and truly walking in the Spirit is not reading a fake Bible that removes the blood of Jesus from Colossians 1:14, removes completely Matthew 17:21, chops Romans 8:1.5. That's just right off the top. There are thousands of verses perverted. Get the real Bible, and we need to repent afresh and let Jesus wash us, and we need to own up to our need to surrender, beginning today, and be crucified with Christ. And cry out with John the Baptist, you must increase, dear Lord, and I must decrease. My life is over. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I disown myself unto thee, because you own me, because you made me and came and redeemed me by your own blood, dear Lord Jesus. So four things the early church continued steadfastly in. The apostles' doctrine, that's the word, fellowship, breaking of bread. Oh, how rich this is. And in prayers, not only individually, but together. That's so simple, and yet we have bureaucratized. Is that the proper way to say it? I think you get the picture here. We've created a bureaucracy and a business out of the church, and they're going to tell you what you want to hear because they got to pay their mortgage, and they want you coming again next week and continuing to patronize their little church business. So we're in 1 John 3. We're going to come in for a close, and notice the children of God, verse 10, are manifest, and the children of the devil. Two kingdoms, and here it is. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. If you're not doing these things we're talking about, first begins with repentance. You can just go to the book of Luke, repent, Luke 13:3, Luke 9:23-24. To follow Jesus, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him to live a crucified life. Otherwise, you're not following him. You can't. That's why he commanded it, so that he's reigning in your life and nobody else. All right, 14:33 of Luke. You can just step right on through, and you may want to write these verse references down. It's a fantastic trail through the Gospel of Luke. Luke 14:33, Jesus said, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. This is easy to remember. You got 14:33, then you got 17:33, the next one. Jesus said this, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose lose his life shall preserve it. We've got to lose our lives into the hands of the Almighty to let go and let God. That's what the cross is. It's a surrender. It's a denial or a disowning of self and putting it into the hands of God. That's when the adventure begins right there. I would never want anybody to miss out on that. But you got to do that by faith. You got to announce today, Colossians 3:3, Lord, I am dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. The only way your life is going to be hid from the enemy and sin is to lose it unto the Lord, to give it to him in surrender. Notice one more, Luke 19:27. Maybe some of you can add to this list, but I tell you what, this trail of verses that I just gave you, maybe I'll recite them in order here in a minute before we finish this segment. This is some strong, raw, biblical, naked truth right here. And this is where the brass tactics are, where the rubber meets the road, as far as whether or not we're real or fake. Remember, Jesus said that many are going to claim to know him in the end, and he's going to tell them, I never knew you. He's going to tell them that they're accursed. Matthew 25, depart from me, ye cursed in the everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the unfruitful who did not produce fruit after their master sent them to do such. Parable of the talents, etc. So Luke 19:27. But those mine enemies, who are Jesus's enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. Oh boy, there's the definition of an enemy of Christ, someone who does not allow him and give him the reins in order to rule and reign supremely over the life that God gave them and came and died to purchase. But those mine enemies, this is a home run, Luke 19:27, but those mine enemies, who are his enemies? Well, I got saved and I go to church. Really? That's not the biblical definition of a true child of God. You could be an enemy of God. Most are that say that kind of stuff and do that. And that's all they got. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. Is Jesus reigning over your life? Or do you have a mere form of godliness, a formula? You said a prayer, you may or may not have been truly saved, and you go to church. That's not the definition of a Christian from the Bible at all. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither, this is what's going to happen to them, and slay them before me. In other words, all those who do not let Jesus reign over their lives, they don't live a crucified life. They don't live a Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease life. They don't live a I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, and he reigns in my life. They don't live that life. And guess who they are? They are the enemies of the Lord. They profess to know God, but in works, the fruit of their life, they deny him. And they're abominable in his holy eyes, Titus 1:16. So bring them here and slay them before me. They're going to be cut down into hell forever. They'll never have a second chance to do things right. Who are you living to serve today, my friend? Self or the Savior? Verse 11, 1 John 3, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, Satan, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. That's what we have all the way from Cain and Abel till now. You got the counterfeits warring against the true disciples. That's our greatest enemy, as it was in the days of Jesus and the apostles. Jesus' greatest rebukes were aimed at and went directly to the false religionist of his day. Matthew 23, etc. Verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. If you're hated in this world, we know that we have passed from death unto life. This is it right here. This is how we know that we have the life, the eternal life of Christ in us. We've passed out of spiritual darkness into his eternal life in Christ because we love the brethren. Do you love the brethren? Are you praying for the body of Christ and the members? Do you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 been born again disciples that you pray for daily? I sure hope so. If not, I believe it would be appropriate and biblical for you to start that list today. And I would love to be on that list, by the way, if I can throw that in a little bit selfishly there. We know that we have passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life because we love the brethren, the body of Christ. He that loveth not his brother abideth or continues in death, spiritual death, separation from God. Couldn't be any clearer than that. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. God says hate equals murder. Have you forgiven everybody, my friend? Do you have any grudge against anyone? It's time to clear that up now. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer, no hater, hath eternal life abiding in him. You're not saved. Notice the words, no murderer hath eternal life. Somebody says, well, I didn't go out and kill anybody. In God's holy eyes, if you look on a woman in lust, you're already an adulterer. If you hate someone, you are a murderer. 1 John 3:15. Here we go. This is the passage we wanted to get through. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we know it when we see it, and we know it's there or not there. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let me encourage you every morning to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. I mean, this passage will change your life. I sure do love it. I say it and or read it every morning. Let nothing be done, he says, through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness, not high-mindedness, lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. When you start living to lift up Jesus and others above yourself, that's when you're starting to hit on all cylinders right there. You're getting real. And that's when you're going to go, why didn't I do this a whole lot earlier? This is amazing. Because all of your own worries and responsibilities and stuff are just no longer a burden. Because he's lifting them. Because he told you, if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things are going to be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, all the blessings begin to flow right there. And you must stay in that place. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things. Man, get rid of some of your stuff. It's nothing but a burden. It's drawing you away from the Lord, and you're going to give account for it. You got money tied up in things, on the temporal trinkets on this earth. When there are Christians in need and ministries that need the funding, get rid of it. Liquidate, minimalize for the glory of God, like they did in the end of Acts 2 and 4. That's what real Christianity looks like. Go read it. Acts 2 and 4, the end of the chapters, both of them. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Live to serve God and others. Let this mind be in you, which he just defined, which was also in Christ Jesus. So verse 16, 1 John 3, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, as we just mentioned, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, turns off the concern, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let me help you. It doesn't. That person does not know the Lord. And they just showed you they're not living by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you don't have real saving faith. James 2, read it. If it hasn't produced and isn't producing daily good works, the fruit of good works. Listen, we know people by their fruits, not their mere confession or profession. We know them by the fruit of their lives. It's time to repent, roll up your sleeves, lift your hands to God, and then go help others. People. Begin by starting a prayer list right now before this message even ends or as soon as it ends, and bring yourself before the Lord. Psalm 51. And make a prayer list. Your life is now given to God, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life for you, and now it's given to others, and he will direct your paths. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or mere profession, neither in tongue, same thing, but in deed. Get busy, and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. There's a lot of fake preachers out there trying to convince people to have assurance that they're saved, but they never tell you what the Bible just told you. And that's that you got to love in reality. You got to roll up your sleeves and love other people, or else it's all in vain and it's all fake and you're going to the same devil's hell as every other rebel. If you want to have the assurance of God, you you got to go to work. You can't just say that you love God in word or tongue. You got to do it in deed and in truth. It's only then that you're going to what? Quote, assure your heart before Him. You want assurance? There it is. That's the Bible recipe. Any fake preacher that's trying to tell you to have assurance, just believe, and not telling you what this says in 1 John 3, that you got to obey God. The whole chapter's talking about that. And if you're not obeying God, you are a fake, 100% counterfeit fraud, disingenuous, abominable, and on your way to a devil's hell from which you will never escape. Repent, and the times of refreshing are going to come upon your life in the presence of the Lord, Acts 3:19, but not before you repent. And it's only then that you're going to have assurance in your heart. Verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, and that can only be when you're obeying, literally obeying. You're living to worship God and to be a blessing to others. That is the Christian life. Otherwise, you don't have it. It's real simple. Love God, love others. Shut your mouth, repent, lay down your life. Your life is over. You live now to magnify Christ and to lift up others with His love filling your heart. The cross is first upward and then it's outward. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And in context, your heart is not going to condemn you if you're busy about the Father's, not your own business. And then you're going to be full of the confidence and faith of God. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. How many people want their prayers answered? Don't you just love this? And whatsoever we ask in the name of Jesus, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. That's a condition for answered prayer. That's not work salvation. That's what the Bible says. Call it what you will. I just want to be a biblical disciple. What about you? Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, if you're walking in obedience to My word, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. I don't know about you, but I got to have a clear line between me and Jesus and the Father and have my prayers answered and know that He's hearing them. What about you? Can you live otherwise? I can't do it anymore, and I choose that way, and I know many of you do too. Last verse, 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask of Him, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and those things that are pleasing in His sight. In other words, like James 1:22 reminds us, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. There it is again. Every other verse we mentioned and read today right out of the Bible is expressing the same biblical, the same divine truth, that if we are not obedient to the Lord, we are deceiving ourselves into thinking that we are His children. Now let's pray together to the Father in the name of Jesus before the glorious throne of grace, coming clean completely in absolute honesty and integrity before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, if never before, I ask You to forgive all of my sins afresh right now in the name of Jesus. Cleanse me of all rebellion, all deceit, all manipulation, all self-idolatry. Cleanse me from all spiritual adultery and all my sins in the name of Jesus by His precious blood. Now, Heavenly Father, I declare that I am from this moment forward crucified with Christ. And Lord, I ask You to fill me with Your Holy Ghost right now and use me powerfully for Your glory in the name of Jesus until my Lord appears or my life ends. And I pray these things in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.